You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on The Champion's Mind. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on The Champion's Mind, How Great Athletes Think, Train, and Thrive by Jim Aframo. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. Champion yourself. We all experience similar struggles and deal with demanding challenges in our pursuit of excellence, regardless of the sport or fitness activity. To be a champion, your true best self becomes key to personal and athletic greatness. You know, as we all do, that only those performers who think gold and never settle for silver will continue to strive for and reach their highest or gold level. A champion makes greatness happen, despite what may seem impossible odds. Of course, most of us are not Olympians or professional athletes, but all of us can acquire a champion's mindset. Any athlete can learn to think like a champion. Every one of us can be peak performers in the game of life by achieving our own personal best. We can strive to be the best version of ourselves. It is possible for us to stay professional whenever adversity strikes. It is possible to ingrain mental fortitude that drives us forward. And it is possible to take a championship approach. End quote. That is Jim Aframo from The Champion's Mind. Jim Aframo is one of the world's leading sports psychologists who works with some of the top performers in all major sports. This is a great book, a collection of bite-sized big ideas on how we can develop our champion's mind, covering everything from goal setting, visualization, and self-talk to breath control, confidence, and mental toughness. My copy of the book is all marked up. As I've mentioned in other notes in our growing collection of sports plus mental toughness books, I love sports books because sports are such a great metaphor for life. As Aframo puts it, we can all be peak performers in the game of life. We can all be champions. Here's a fun little fact. Did you know the word champion comes from the medieval Latin campion, which means fighter? Yep, which immediately makes me think of winning the ultimate combat Socrates talks about in the Gorgias. He says, quote, "I desire only to know the truth and to live as well as I can. And to the utmost of my power, I exhort all other men to do the same. I exhort you also to take part in the great combat, which is the combat of life and greater than every other earthly conflict." End quote. With that, I'm excited to share a few of my favorite ideas on how we can become champions of our own lives. So let's jump straight in. Our first big idea, the vision of a champion. Quote, "My favorite description of what excellence in the sports world looks like comes from Anson Dorrance, the legendary University of North Carolina women's soccer coach. He was driving to work early one morning, and as he passed a deserted field, he noticed one of his players off in the distance doing extra training by herself. He kept driving, but he later left a note in her locker. The vision of a champion is someone who is bent over, drenched in sweat, at the point of exhaustion when no one else is watching." The young woman, Mia Hamm, would go on to become one of the greatest players in the history of the sport. Having a big dream and a clear vision of what you will look like while pursuing competitive excellence always inspires greatness. What is your dream goal? What does excellence in your game look like when you are fully dialed in and passionately pursuing your dream? Becoming the best you can be in your sport. Make the description vivid and powerful enough to give you that burst of adrenaline when you need it. A burst that can only come from connecting completely with your heart's true desire. End quote. I just love that vision of Mia Hamm bent over, drenched in sweat, at the point of exhaustion when no one else is watching. That champion level of motivation always begins with intense desire, matched with a knowing that it can be achieved, plus a commitment to doing what needs to be done to make it happen every single day. Remember our motivation equation a la Piers Steel? See the notes on the procrastination equation. M equals E times V divided by I times D. Your motivation is driven by your level of expectancy times value. What do you really want? And do you know / expect you can get it? Get that part of the equation right while setting daily goals that reduce delay, and you'll drown out your impulsivity while maintaining peak motivation. But that's not enough to make you bent over, drenched in sweat, at the point of exhaustion when no one else is watching. For that, you've got to be really honest with yourself about what you really want. One great way to get there is to ask yourself, What would I dare to dream if I knew I couldn't fail? With that clarity, we figure out what price we need to pay and go pay it. This gem from Jason Selk's Organize Tomorrow Today is a good thing to keep in mind as well. He says, quote, "Greatness is predicated on consistently doing things others can't or won't do. Simply put, success is not about being brilliant. It's about being consistent." Next big idea, let's define mental toughness. Quote, "Mental toughness does not entail clenching your teeth, trying harder, thinking more, straining your eyes to focus, or having someone scream, 'Be tough!' at you. Mental toughness is the ability to remain positive and proactive in the most adverse of circumstances. Mental toughness is built on doing the thing that is hard over and over again, especially when you don't feel like it. Push through on your down days when you are not feeling your best. Distraction, discomfort, and difficulties are no match for the champion." End quote. So what is mental toughness? I love Affirmo's definition. He tells us that mental toughness is the ability to remain positive and proactive in the most adverse of circumstances. And, very importantly, it's built on doing the thing that is hard over and over again, especially when you don't feel like it. It's genius. It reminds me of another great idea from Jason Selk's Organize Tomorrow Today, where he talks about the importance of winning fight-throughs, those times when you don't, insert whiny voice, feel like it, and you do it anyway. He says, now this is Jason Selk, "The amazing things that world-class athletes are able to accomplish are usually chalked up to freak ability, and that certainly can be a factor. But a much bigger factor in those athletes reaching that level is their relentless ability to consistently win the fight-throughs." Sounds like a mentally tough champion. How's your mental toughness? And most importantly, what's one little thing you can do to cultivate it a bit more today? Here's an idea: being ugly but effective, plus having a good bad day. Quote, "Take a minute right now to think about your performance when you did not believe a good or respectable outcome was possible, but you still found a way to make it happen. There is beauty in being ugly but effective, UBE, or having a good bad day, GBD, while you are not at your finest. Keep your head in the game and grind it out." End quote. There's a powerful beauty in being ugly but effective and having good bad days. UBE plus GBD. This is big. If we want to cultivate truly intense trust in ourselves, we need to know that we can pull it together when things start falling apart. Jack Nicklaus called it playing poorly well. Affirmo tells us Rory McIlroy calls it scrappy golf. Step number one to making that happen is to know that you will have X bad shots per round. It's the unhealthy perfectionists among us, I'm waving to my old self, who struggle with this the most. Thinking they should be able to get through the day perfectly, but only every day, and that if they don't, it's a sign of something being inherently wrong with them. Ah. We need to hold our high standards of excellence while embracing the constraints of reality that, tragically, we will never be perfect. Then, when the inevitable bad shot comes along, rather than beating ourselves up, we simply say, aha, there's a bad shot. I knew you'd sneak in at some point, no big deal, back to work. So, how's your ugly? Here's to being ugly but effective and having good bad days. Hashtag UBE plus hashtag GBD. Next big idea, sand in your hand. Quote, "Achieving peak performance is like trying to keep a small pile of sand from slipping from your grip. If you hold it too tightly, the sand will be squeezed between your fingers. Likewise, if you hold it too loosely, the sand will slip through your grip. Holding the sand too tightly is analogous to caring too much about the outcome and trying too hard to achieve a result. Holding it too loosely is akin to caring too little and not being mentally disciplined. Most athletes would benefit from caring enough but not caring too much about the outcome in major competitions, so that they can let their talent be natural and unrestrained. He who grasps loses," wrote Lao Tzu in the Tao Te Ching. End quote. Grab a pile of sand. Grip it too tightly and the sand will be squeezed between your fingers. Grip it too loosely and it'll just slip through your grip. There's an optimal level of intensity there. We need to find it. Malcolm Gladwell talks about the inverted U in his great book, David and Goliath. See those notes. Here's how he puts it. Quote, "That's what is called an inverted U curve. Inverted U curves are hard to understand. They almost never fail to take us by surprise, and one of the reasons we are so often confused about advantages and disadvantages is that we forget when we are operating in a U-shaped world. The psychologists Barry Schwartz and Adam Grant argue in a brilliant paper that, in fact, nearly everything of consequence follows the inverted U. Across many domains of psychology, they tell us, one finds that X increases Y to a point, and then it decreases Y. There is no such thing as an unmitigated good. All positive traits, states, and experiences have costs that at high levels may begin to outweigh their benefits. I'm also reminded by the river of flexibility Dan Siegel talks about in Mindsight. See those notes. The basic idea, which we've discussed before, is you need a certain amount of structure in your life, but not so much that you become rigid. And you need a certain amount of spontaneity in your life, but not so much that you become chaotic. The optimal levels of structure plus spontaneity provide the banks for your river of flexibility. Too much of either, and you'll flood the banks. So, stay flexible. Spotlight back on you. Are you grasping a little too tightly or a little too loosely? How can you optimize 4%? Here is a good idea on how to go about doing that. Next big idea, good, better, best, your champion journal. Quote, how can you objectively evaluate your progress and build on your success? As a mechanism for sparking creativity and generating new ideas for improving your performance, debrief your gameplay on a regular basis. Evaluate the mental, technical, and tactical aspects. Specifically, ask yourself three questions. 1, what did I do that was good? 2, what needs to get better? 3, what changes should I make to become my best? This process will allow you to think broadly about each area of your game and then drill down to the details. Make this your champion journal. End quote. Evaluating our performance is important, and pretty much all the great mental toughness coaches tell us that most of us get it wrong. Why? Because most of us immediately start with what we didn't like about our performance. Shining a light on what needs work is, of course, important, but effective evaluation begins only after you've recognized what's working really well. So start with that. 1, what did you do that was good? Fantastic. Celebrate it. Do more of that. Then it's time to look at what needs work, which we want to look at with that warm, neutral lens of a supportive coach, which leads us to the second question. What needs to get better? All right, yeah, that could use some work. I can see how I can do that better. Awesome. We're ready for the next step. What changes should I make to become my best? Ah, yes, that would be huge. Let's crush that. Good, better, best. Good. What are you doing really well? Better. What can you get better at? Best. What changes should you make to become your best? Good, better, best. P.S. here, I've shared this before, but this is important, not just for ourselves as we evaluate our performance, but for our kids as well. After a game, don't start with what needs work. Start by celebrating what was awesome. And remember, asking the question, how'd it go, isn't the optimal way to start the process because too often the response to that will be focused on the things that didn't go as well as they could. Much better to start with, what was awesome? This next big idea is pretty awesome. Sustained obsession. Quote, sustained obsession. Brad Allen Lewis and his rowing partner Paul Enquist won the gold medal in the double sculls at the 1984 Los Angeles Olympic Games, becoming the first U.S. rowers to capture gold since 1964, and the first U.S. doubles team to secure gold since 1932. For Lewis, high commitment equals sustained obsession. He explains how he went from good to gold medal in his book, Wanted, Rowing Coach. Quote, if anyone here is secretly dreaming of making the Olympics, I can tell you exactly how to do it. 2 words, sustained obsession. The obsession isn't hard, but keeping it sustained is a tough nut to crack. End quote. Sustained obsession. That might just be my new favorite phrase. It's a tough nut to crack, but you know who can do it? Smoky Bot. Remember him? He's our friend who can smoke the tortoise and the hare by combining the best qualities of each. He's the embodiment of sustained obsession. Here's how Grant Cardone captures it in the 10X rule. See those notes. He says, quote, we have all heard the fable of the tortoise and the hare. The implied lesson, of course, is that the tortoise wins because he plods along and takes his time, whereas the hare rushes, becomes tired, and misses his opportunity to win. We're supposed to derive the meaning that we should be tortoises, individuals who approach our goals steadily and slowly. If there was a third player in the fable who had the speed of the hare and the steadfastness of the tortoise, it would smoke them both and have no competition. The fable would then be called Smoked. The suggestion here is to approach your goals like the tortoise and the hare, by attacking them ruthlessly from the beginning and also staying with them throughout the course of the race, end quote. So let's remember that it's easy to get fired up. It's a lot more challenging to sustain that obsession. Two more quick thoughts here. First, Idan Ravine from the Hoops Whisperer. See those notes. He tells us, quote, talent and fireworks on a few random nights in December aren't enough. Succeeding in the NBA requires consistency over an extended period of time. 82 regular season games, 6 months, a daily grind. Season after season after season, I may add. And back to Afrimo, who tells us, quote, excellence is not random. It is also more than a short-term ambition, accident, or accomplishment. It is developed by design and achieved by setting and tenaciously pursuing high, competitive goals. The greatest champions in history have all had a long-range vision and plan of what they wanted to accomplish in tandem with a complete daily devotion to their specialization. Having daily or weekly improvement goals to meet will help ensure that you are always working right. End quote. Sustained obsession, Smokey Bod. Final big idea, the champion's honor pledge. Quote, have the boldness to pursue what you want most in both sports and life. If you have the courage to start, you will have the courage to finish. Make think gold and never settle for silver your life's mantra and put it into daily action. Fully unfurl the potential of your life, both on and off the field, because your life is unique. Thinking this way is the ultimate victory for any champion. Now, you are ready to take the champion's honor pledge. By my efforts, I will keep my body strong, my mind focused, and my determination unstoppable. I resolve to compete in the present with power, purpose, and passion. I know that every sore muscle and drop of sweat is an investment in excellence. I strive to be my best, nothing less, and joy will come from my striving. True, pain always comes, but I can endure it. My body wins when my mind refuses to give in. In defeat, I will reflect and learn. In victory, I will savor the glorious moment. Tomorrow, my efforts always begin anew. End quote. Those are the final words to the book, a perfect little manifesto plus champion's honor pledge. Here's to winning the ultimate fight and becoming champions of our lives. That is a super quick look at the champion's mind, packed with big ideas. It's literally like one little big idea after another. Jim Afrimo, PhD, is a sports psychologist and licensed counselor at Arizona State University. He has worked closely with athletes at all levels, including pros from the MLB, NBA, WNBA, NFL, NHL, PGA Tour, and LPGA Tour, as well as business professionals, performing artists, and others in demanding careers. He lives in Phoenix. You can connect with him at goldmedalmind.net. goldmedalmind.net. If you enjoyed this note, I think you'll also enjoy the notes on With Winning in Mind, David and Goliath, The Hoops Whisperer, No Limits, and the 10X Rule, all of which are linked in the note. Now let's enjoy some great quotes from the sidebar and wrap it up. Herb Brooks, coach of the 1980 U.S. Olympic Miracle on Ice team, tells us, you were born to be a player. You were meant to be here. This moment is yours. Here's the motto of the United States Olympic Committee. It's not every 4 years, it's every day. George St. Pierre, the UFC welterweight champion, former now, he says, when I go to sleep at night, I'm a better martial artist than when I woke up in the morning. Check out our note on his great book, Way of the Fight, by the way. Now some great quotes from Jim Afrimo. He tells us, doing the thing that is hard over and over again is like depositing money in your inner strength bank account. To perform at a champion's level, know what your goals are and always keep them in focus. How great do you want to be? How much do you want to win? Jim tells us, remember that fear means to face everything and respond. To perform at a champion's level, let the butterflies fly in formation. To perform at a champion's level, you must understand the importance of a long-term memory for success and a short-term memory, or selective amnesia, for failure. The arrow that hits the bullseye is the result of 100 misses is a Buddhist saying that is definitely worth bearing in mind. Jim tells us, simply prolonging exhalation, regardless of inhalation length, promotes the relaxation response. Proper breathing helps expel the stress and tension from your system and brings you back into the present. His breathing count, by the way, that he advocates, I often talk about the 6-2-7. He's all about 5-2-8, extending the exhalation phase. Let's do one of those now. Inhale to 5. Hold for 2. And then exhale for 8. Again, that longer exhalation triggers the relaxation response, which is a very good thing. All right, and the final little quote here is from Irving Berlin, who says, "The toughest thing about success is that you've got to keep on being a success." There you go, the champion's mind. What was your favorite big idea? Think about it, reflect on it, share it, and embody it. I very much hope you enjoyed, and I hope you have an awesome day. Look forward to sharing more soon. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to brianjohnson.me to download more.